Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is just about 7:20 here. It's afternoon time in Kharkiv. That's where Joseph Lindsley is. And we understand it was a very difficult weekend for you there. Joseph, what is the story there now?
Bob, good afternoon. We had an alarm that ended about half an hour ago. All is calm today. But yesterday, Sunday morning around 8 o'clock, I was sleeping and I heard boom. It sounded like a missile hit, but I thought it was a dream or a garbage truck or anything else. So I closed my eyes again. And then once again, that loud, awful sound, that thud, a second missile had hit. Definitely a missile. So I jumped up. I ran. It's still in the fog of sleep. I ran down many flights because you don't want to take an elevator, down many flights to the hotel cellar. Only as I jogged down the steps did I hear the air raid alarm sound. So these two rockets had hit before even the alarm went off. Downstairs, the front desk girl was hiding in a corridor, but the cook still insisted on giving me breakfast. And then when the all raid alarm cleared, you realize that you can't, especially here in Kharkiv, only 30 miles from Russia, you can't trust the moments between the alarms. You know, anything could hit at any time. It's a very terrifying thought. And so instead of thinking too much, I went for a run in the snowy park, playing some music just to get that sound out of my ears, because you can't stop hearing it once you hear it. And you know, in the park, I saw there's these beautiful statues in the parks of Kharkiv of like little kids playing tennis, or a woman singing, a statue of a guy grilling and giving food to a dog. And you know, I was wondering, you know, what would it be like to be a statue sort of removed from this? But then you realize, you know, this is real. That's real life. And it became more real because a few minutes later, a friend picked me up and we went to go look at the disaster scenes. Kharkiv University had been one of the missiles had hit the university, maybe like a 10 story building. And we walk on sidewalks that are covered in glass, you can see there already were rescue workers on top, you know, maybe 8 floors up amid the rubble on top of the building. Fortunately, it was a Sunday morning, so there were not, I don't think there was really anyone in the building. And my friend that was showing me around said, well, the word on the street is if your university department gets hit, you get an automatic diploma. You know, still having some wartime humor. And that same friend told me that in these situations, when a missile hits before the alarm goes off, dogs tend to bark about 1 minute before the missile hits. They can sense something coming. Maybe they can feel the vibrations. Wow. And then a few blocks, it's amazing. You listen to the dogs. A few blocks away, there was a wild scene. A rocket had hit in a street, and the street slopes downward. There's two rows of beautiful old residential buildings along either side, each about 6 to 8 stories. In the middle of the street, fire trucks, rescue workers, there was an old woman holding a shivering dog in a blanket. Firefighter was petting the dog. The World Central Kitchen was already there serving coffee and soup to the residents and to the rescue workers. And before, in these two rows of buildings, it was like looking into two rows of dolls' houses, because the facades and windows had been ripped off on both sides. And you just imagine you're having a quiet Sunday morning, and then all of a sudden your lives are in your rooms are exposed to the world. Above me to the right, there was a balcony with a couple standing there looking dazed. You know, moments before they'd been in their lovely apartment, and now, you know, half of it's gone. And you already could see rescue workers putting up plywood to cover the open gaps on this very cold, bright morning. And you know, it's you see, I mean, immediately people get to work on fixing things, but very difficult and very scary. The day before, Saturday, was also a day of heavy news. I'd had a beer with some foreign soldiers at an Irish pub, which sometimes I think Irish pubs feel like apocalypse-proof. And this one soldier, his jaw, he was missing a lot of his jaw. And he'd been wounded fighting near Bakhmut from South Africa. And I assumed he was going home now. He said, no, as soon as he's well enough, he's going back to fight. He says, I have extra motivation. And then as I got home, I had a call from a nurse. I know she's an American volunteer from Utah. She's been to, this is her third time in Ukraine. And I knew she'd been wounded in Bakhmut. She called me from her hospital bed in the city of Dnipro. And she told me what happened. They were in Bakhmut. The Russians had sent a missile. and they had indications there were wounded people. So her team of Ukrainians and foreigners raced to the scene. She was kneeling down on the sidewalk to open her medical bag next to a casualty on the ground. And the next thing she knows, she said she was floating. And she said, as soon as I land, I'm going to be dead. But she was already on the ground. She was only floating in her mind. And as she tried to perform a medical check on herself to see what might have happened, turns out there was shrapnel all through her side. She looked, and it's very hard to hear, but she looked, there was a detached leg. And then the person she had been attending to was dead. And all of a sudden, someone on their team is shouting, we got to go, we got to go. One of the vans was totally destroyed. It seems that Russian artillery had directly hit that van. So they pile into the one surviving vehicle. And as they're getting in, this girl, this American nurse, she said, where's Pete? Pete is Dr. Peter Robeson Reed. He was a 34-year-old Marine veteran doctor here also. He'd only been here for a few weeks to volunteer. And my friend says, who I've known since July, she says, where's Pete? And by the way, we have an alarm right now. Where's Pete? And one of the team leaders said, Pete is dead. And Pete, in just a few weeks in Ukraine, many of my Ukrainian friends knew him. He was well-loved. Anyway, they raced to the hospital, and now she's there recovering in the hospital. Fortunately, I know friends in Dnipro who are bringing her food. But it's very, very difficult here. And then to top it all off, last night at the end of the day, I heard from a very knowledgeable friend in Washington. This friend, throughout this war and even before it, the information has been very sound. And this person said to me that it's going to get a lot worse. Russia is planning something huge within the next month. And the hardest part, and what's worse, Washington is waiting to send better, more lethal equipment, waiting to see if once again the Ukrainians can prove themselves, because they do not want this equipment to fall into Russian hands. And so from what I heard from this source and from a few others, it seems that we're about to enter maybe one, perhaps the most difficult phase of this. And it's all up to these little brave people like the Ukrainians who are fighting in Bakhmut, like that nurse from Utah, to hold the line. And only then, only if we can get through the coming month, might Washington and the rest of the world consider sending the weapons that are absolutely needed.
Amazing. We've been talking to you for almost a year now, and this is one of the most troubling reports I've heard from you, Joseph. And, you know, we see all these news pieces, and you bring it home like nobody else. And it's just harrowing to hear these stories. And it's also heartwarming to hear how the people there maintain a sense of humor, that cook serving you breakfast in spite of the alarm. You're going out for a morning jog there on what used to be, anyway, all beautiful snowy streets. I don't know what to say to you, except I just pray for you. And are the alarms sounding right now?
Yeah, just as I was speaking, we have alarms in Zaporizhia and here in Kharkiv region. And so we wait and see. You know, I mean, it's... Yeah, you wait. Every little noise in these moments can make you jump. And just to close, you know, it was a very heavy weekend of news. And I went back to that little Irish pub last night to do some work. And there was a family having a birthday party. And they had dogs and kids, and they brought their own food and drink. And they brought me, the woman whose birthday it was, Natasha, she brought me a piece of cake. She's a medic. Her husband's a firefighter. So these are the people that are immediately responding to these attacks. And here they were just, you know, 12 hours or so after that attack this morning, having a party and singing. And I think that's, you know, that's the spirit, again, that keeps everyone going and kept me going, too.
I hope you're right about those Irish pubs being apocalypse proof. get back in there.
And, yes, sir.
fingers crossed for you. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.